Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Football on off the ball.
What I'd say is the problem we have right now, if we're all just brutally honest about it, and you need to be, and Double Pass outlines it, the level of football education that we're delivering to our best players is not good enough, and it's far from good enough.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Good evening. This is Wednesday night's Off the Ball. You're very welcome along. We're on air until 10 o'clock, as always. Coming up tonight, we're going to be speaking to Anthony Moyles, who's popping into studio from 7:30. Former Meath footballer, but now we refer to him as manager of the Intermediate Champions in the Meath Club Football Championship. Kilbride won their final in a cracker on Saturday, so we'll speak to Anthony about the season that they've had. Hajo Seppelt is going to join us after 8 o'clock then. He works with ARD in Germany, has worked on a number of pretty significant doping stories and doping documentaries over the years. Really interested to get his take on the enhanced games this evening. We're also going to be speaking that hour to Sir Ian McGeachan. He's going to take a quick call because he's about to be inducted into Leeds University's Hall of Fame. So going to chat to him about his time at the university, becoming a teacher, whether or not he was a friendly teacher, whether or not he was a strict teacher. So we'll get stuck into a little bit of his background. And then after 9 o'clock on the football show, Kathleen McNamee will join us to talk all things women national team. And Keith Tracy will be with us for the football show as well. Keith, I'm happy to say, is with us for the news round too. Keith, how are you keeping?
I'm great. How are you, lads?
Very well. Our number is 0879 180 180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp. Cameron Hill is here as well. How are you, Cameron?
Good evening, Owen. How are things?
All good. Like, my first question, and we were talking about this a second ago, is where is the relief today? It feels that Irish football fans are moping about. Negativity has really prevailed over the course of the last 24 hours. We are a footballing nation with that has just received a stay of execution. We have just walked free. We are the Kaiser Soze of international football. Oh. And we're walking around as if it's all over, as if we're already dead.
The usual suspects. I feel like that's a major spoiler.
What's going on, Keith? I mean, like, it's... first of all, actually, let me ask you the question. Are you subscribing to that theory that this is just a matter of when, not if, this whole thing ends in tears?
Yeah, I think we're just kicking the can down the road. There was a fear that we could have been out of it after the first two games, and there was a feeling that even though it wasn't mathematically done, that people were saying it's done now. The performance in Portugal then gives us a little bit of hope, but the first half last night against Armenia was so poor. And again, before the game, you're hearing Nathan Collins saying that, you know, there's something brewing in the camp, there's a big performance coming. It's like one of the heavyweight fights when you get sucked into the pre-match chat and you think, oh yeah, I'm going to watch this. I started to believe again and thinking Ireland are going to set off like a house on fire, put Armenia under pressure, we'll be 1-0 up after 15 minutes and it will just be a perfect night. And the lads didn't seem to get the message.
Did they not kind of do that for the first 15 minutes? Like, kind of like in Yerevan as well, that they do tend to show like a little spell at the start, and then when the game settles down, Ireland really regress.
Yeah, there was very, very, very little. I think I remember a Jake O'Brien header that maybe the goalkeeper made an easy enough save from, but other than walking the goalkeeper, I get your point, there's a bit more tempo to it, but in terms of walking the goalkeeper and making them feel uncomfortable, I still think we played at quite a passive pace in the first 20 minutes. And the press, like the press now, you hear so many managers talking about the press being a weapon. Our press is so loose, and by the way, this is against Armenia. I can understand it if we're up against, you know, France or Spain or one of the elites in football, that you're thinking, I really don't want to go because I'm afraid I'll be bopped. If somebody goes past you can recover, you can run back like your life depends and have another nibble at them. So it's not the end of the world if somebody skips past you, but to say the lads looked low on confidence, I think it is so easy, because they didn't even want to come out of their press, out of their shape, because they were afraid they would be picked off. And again, very, very similar to the Hungary game. If that sending off doesn't happen, I'm not so sure we get anything from that game. And to be fair, we were second best for probably 50 minutes in that game.
Yeah, like the temptation is to say that Ireland have been somewhat unlucky if you factor into the Lisbon results. Maybe if Ireland had been in a better place going to Yerevan, you might have said that they said they could have got a point, to be fair. But they should have been beaten by more in Yerevan. And there was two stupid red cards that have gifted them 2 points, well, 4 points in this group so far. Cameron and I were obviously here last night. We weren't in the stadium. You were there, Keith. What was it actually like in the stadium?
There was a few boos at halftime. I took my headphones off because I wanted to just get a feel for the atmosphere. And yeah, there was a scattering of boos. Didn't last for too long now. And obviously, I think everybody was thinking there'll be changes at halftime. And when there wasn't any changes, it's probably the old normal manager. I'm going to give you 10 minutes to write this and then I'm going to start taking people off. And people say to me, I heard Nathan Collins saying that Seamus rattled the goalkeeper and that got the crowd involved and that was a big turning point in the game. I don't think it was. I think it was all down to the sending off. For 50 minutes, Armenia must have been thinking, this is so comfortable. We didn't rattle anybody's cage. Seamus Coleman is probably the only one who comes out with any sort of credit from an outfield player. And it's very, very difficult to have any sort of confidence moving forward because, like you say, on the Hungary game at home, it's not until the sending off that we start playing a bit of football. We're already 2-0 down. So although we did well to wrestle it back, there's still an air of luck in terms of getting the draw there. Armenia away didn't turn up at all. Second best against a country that we should be able to go absolutely toe-to-toe with. The Portuguese game, yeah, okay, I'll give the lads that. They turned up for 90 minutes. Although we lost, they turned up for 90 minutes, put in a real good shift. Although we were never going to score a goal, our XG over the 90 minutes was 0.08. So a good performance, but a good defensive performance, nothing more to that. And then against Armenia, we're absolutely dominated again at home for 50 minutes. And now people are saying to me, well, we just need a draw in Lisbon and then we've got to go to Budapest and be hungry. I'm thinking, what game are you watching? Because there's nothing in the last 4 World Cup qualifying games to think we're capable of that.
Yeah, it just allows us to have this moment just for today, Keith. And, yeah, and well, like, I mean,
give us a moment. I'm happy to jump on that bus for a while because I'm annoyed with being annoyed all the time. I'm happy to jump on the bus and think, oh, well, look, we're still alive. I'm happy to do that. But the next question is, do you think we can do it? And the answer is a firm no.
Is that not the problem, though, is that we're already trying to look for positives from last night's performance to take into the games against Portugal and Hungary? Like, was that the whole point of the exercise last night, is that like Hamer Halgrimsson flagged beforehand that he'd take a crap performance and a win, and they got the win and it was a crap performance. There's no getting away from that. If you're trying to look for positives from their display yesterday, you're going to be searching for quite some time. But this is a team so low on confidence that I don't think a team with even a shred more confidence misses half the chances that Ireland missed last night. They're so up in their own heads right now. And like, maybe just say, okay, it's a win, we can draw a line under it and just move on, and in a month's time we'll focus on this. But gnawing into it and saying, God, that was an awful display, do them a favor. Yeah. I don't know.
I honestly don't think anybody came out of the Aviva last night thinking that was good enough. I still think the players would be walking off thinking that's not good enough. And sometimes you're more than happy to sweep it under the carpet and say, I don't really care. And I don't really care. But of course you're thinking, is there anything in the performances over the World Cup qualifying campaign that leans into winning them games? And the answer
is
no.
The only thing is, like, and Cameron points to Hamer talking about a shitty performance in a 1-0 or something that Hamer would have taken. Like, he said that before the game. So that's exactly what transpired here.
The game plan early on.
But is that a bit of a shitty win without the sending off?
No.
This is what I'm saying. It's not
far less likely.
11v11, we wrestled it, and look, we got over the line one way or another, and we just managed to beat Armenia. Without that numerical advantage, I don't think we win that game. And that we would have drawn, like, in 2 games to Armenia have totally dominated us for the 3 quarters of football. And the only reason we got on top in the last 35 minutes of one of them is because there was a sending off.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com. aig.com/footballfuelpointstc.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Patrick's been in touch to say the Irish were terrible once again. Makes it sound like he's potentially not Irish. Only for a stupid sending off, Armenia would have beaten us. Sorry, he is Irish. Bring back James McLean for the Portugal game. I mean, like, you talk about, you know, the Seamus Coleman rattling the Armenia goalkeeper and a couple of other tackles that he put in, and Jason Malumbi getting about the place over the last couple of games. I've now decided after this international window that guts is the most important thing to being an Irish footballer. Screw everything else. If you're gutsy and you're going to fly into challenges and you're going to try and physically impact on an opposition player, sign that person up to play for the Republic of Ireland.
Look, see also Liam Scales against England before getting sent off against England.
There is that.
Yeah, there's a proper way to channel it. But I look at the north of Ireland, and I know they got beat by Germany the other day, but you look at their players on a whole, and I know people will start debating and saying there's one or two that are decent enough players, but you look at the north, and there's no standout players that you think he's a brilliant player, he's the reason Northern Ireland are doing so well. I think they've got a proper manager in Michael O'Neill, who drills them really, really well. They're stubborn out of defence, and when balls get flicked over the striker's head, like a long ball from back to front, it goes over his head, they don't look and think what sort of ball was that. They turn and sprint after it goes to the goalkeeper, they sprint again. The amount of times I've seen the Germans just lashing the ball forward as quick as they could. I mean, I've seen Joshua Kimmich kicking the ball as far away as he could. This is a player that plays for Bayern Munich and has all the composure in the world, yet you rattle his cage with a bit of tempo and sprint after people. Yet the Irish team, they play like they're a gang of world beaters, like, oh, give me the ball and I'll make things happen. That's not the team we are. We're very, very workmanlike. And I know people would say, oh, Malumbi runs around. He runs around in our half. We go around waiting for mistakes before we press people. How about forcing a mistake, making people make mistakes and profit in that way? And we need to be an awful lot better out of possession, because we're very, very poor in possession.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe you're not having the Malumbi hype as much as other people there.
Well, I think it's a given. I think it's an absolute given. Oh, when you say Malumbi played well, I don't think anybody's saying got on the half turn, linked the play from back to front. He ran around.
Yeah.
You want me to get excited about somebody running around? And look, I take it that his work rate was good. Pat on the back, well done. But what was it Sean Dyche used to say? Minimum requirement is maximum. It was maximum effort.
Yeah.
What about that heat map, though?
The heat map, it's unbelievable. Like, just run around. That's all we want. And in the first half, just run around, try and make mistakes happen, rattle some cages, make them feel uncomfortable. Armenia are a bang average team, yet we seem to play them and we walk away going, tell you what, they're a good team then. They're okay. But every player at international level, if you stand off them 2 or 3 yards, will look like a very good player.
Who is your player of the window?
Seamus. I think it has to be Seamus, and I'm scratching my head, and I know he played a large amount of the both games, but I'd have had him in last month's internationals as well, and I know he was injured, but just to have him in, and people saying, well, why, like, so he can talk to people. Yeah, I think that group are so fragile and so devoid of leaders or anybody who sets a standard, that Seamus being in the hotel, I think, just makes it a little bit, just raises standards. Like when a teacher walks into a room and the pupils just, you know, just sit up properly all of a sudden. I think Seamus has that aura about him now. And I thought that about Seamus, and I wasn't quite sure. And then I seen this window, and the improvement in the defending against Portugal was unbelievable. And I think it's mostly down to Seamus just telling people what to do, calming it down, rattling goalkeepers, hyping people up when he needs to. And he's just a proper old school leader, and that's exactly what these lads need.
Like, is it not a bit shameful that we needed a man of his age to do what you say, maximum effort?
Yeah, it is. And I remember it, I think it was the last 2 minutes of the first half. Seamus is obviously playing as a right wing back. He was on the left wing trying to do 1-2s and overlapping people, and he ended up falling over and just running back into position. But it was him looking and thinking, this is so flat up front. We need to run around. And even the Aviva, it's not much of a cauldron. And I know the crowd will be saying, well, there was nothing to get up about. There was nothing to get people on the edge of their seat. When Festi Ebiseli got it, I marked on my sheet, every time he got the ball 1v1, and then I put a big tick when he ran past the defender. He only ran past the defender once, and people were saying Festi was brilliant. When we get the ball in 1v1 situation, success. Now run at people.
Yeah, I must say the audio from our output last night when Festi got man of the match was one of confusion. Richie Towell and Stewie Byrne were both scratching their heads at that decision. The news round is with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. And you are starting this evening with some of Hamer Halgrimson and what he was saying last night, Cameron.
Yeah, we'll give the last word to him on this. So, and he says the squad are already focusing on the crucial final matches in their World Cup qualifying campaign. The boys in green are a point behind Group F opponents Hungary after last night's victory over Armenia at the Aviva Stadium. Now, Hungary go to Yerevan for their next match in November on the same day that Ireland host Portugal in Dublin. And Halgrimson says last night's win allows them to fully look towards next month's games.
Well, it's just a new dawn, is a new day, next window. This result today would matter, doesn't matter at all. We just needed a 3 point to be alive and have a chance. That's number one. So we cannot be reading too much into that performance. It was always going to be a tough match for us, needing to win. And again, it's going to be tough, just a different opponent. But the cracks that we didn't have maybe confidence and composure on the ball, and we were not in sync defensive. Definitely a step down in that from Portugal. We didn't have much of the ball, but I think today we showed how we can play when we do it well. We created enough chances to score 3, 4, 5 goals in this game, and that doesn't happen often at this level.
Plenty more analysis on this from Keith Tracy coming up after 9 o'clock on the football show this evening. There's another piece of content with Keith that's about to go live right now, the making of Keith Tracy. Yourself and Colm were out at Belvedere last week. Apparently it's a really, really good piece.
Yeah, we went to Clontarf, I think it was a Wednesday morning, and we just met a couple of old heads, went through a little walk down memory lane, got a football out on the pitch and messed around for a little while. It was good fun.
We saw you pinging it top bins, to use that phrase, on social media already. So that is the teaser visually.
Yeah, I was terrified as well, because when people watch it, they'll see there's a referee just lingering in the background, right. And he's right in the, could take one in the nose region, but thankfully I stayed clear of him.
First take. Do you ever watch those skills influencers online, and do you ever suspect that they're not first take merchants?
I would have thought so. Honestly, I can't do any of that stuff, you know, the around the world, balance the ball on your neck, that type of stuff. I was get half yard and cross it and race against people. I remember I signed for, I think it was Preston, and they brought me out on the pitch to take a couple of pictures, and they kept throwing a ball and, you know, wanted me to do something. I had absolutely nothing but solos in the locker, and I could see, like, even the photographers looking at me going, my God, this fella has nothing.
Even Catherine Connolly can do them.
There you go.
I had nothing. I never practiced that sort of stuff, because it's not real football, is it?
No.
You're just like just 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
That's very like, do you remember that foul on Richarlison maybe a couple of seasons ago when he was doing a couple of skill moves and Brennan Johnson just goes in destroys him. Yeah. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
So that's going out right now, the making of Keith Tracy. It's a really, really good piece and definitely worth your time. We should turn to the rugby, Cameron. We had an Ireland squad announced today.
A 34-man Ireland squad named by Andy Farrell today for the upcoming Autumn Nations Series, Owen. Captain Caelan Dorris has been included. He hasn't seen any playing minutes since picking up a shoulder injury in Leinster's semi-final defeat in the Champions Cup to Northampton Saints back in May. Second row, Joe McCarthy, has not made the cut. He's still struggling with a foot injury he sustained in the first Lions test against Australia. His brother Paddy, however, is the only uncapped player in this selection, and Ireland, of course, begin their November action with a Soldier Field rematch against New Zealand on the 1st of November.
What's sticking out to you about this Ireland squad?
It's very hard. Like, it's consistent, and I suppose Andy Farrell coming back into the fold after the sabbatical with the Lions, maybe he wants to keep things as consistent and solid as possible. Like, this is, it's not just him, it's a load of the Ireland backroom team who are getting back in touch for the first time. Vinnie Hammond, Alad Walter is coming back in too. Like, it's not, you don't want to maybe tear up the script too much. It's a little bit uninspiring, isn't it? I mean, you think of the one uncapped player being Paddy McCarthy, and I think Rory O'Connor made the point that the IRFU sort of drive to bolster Ireland's prop options over the next while and put that embargo on players coming in, and suddenly 8 of the 9 props named in the side are from Leinster, with the one exception being Finlay Beelum. I was comparing it to the Portugal and Georgia tour, the summer tour team or squad that was announced. There's no Tom O'Toole. He hasn't made the cut this time. The likes of Dara Murray also out. Cormac Kazichukwu admittedly is injured, but Michael Mill might have got a shout this time. And I don't know, do you really need to see a full-strength Ireland side take on Japan to know where we stand?
Maybe not Japan. The only thing I would say is that December is a big month. It's when the draw happens for the Rugby World Cup. Mm. Ridiculously early, stupidly early, but that is the way it is. Ireland need to protect their world ranking going into that draw in December, and they're going to run the gauntlet outside of the Japan game, obviously. So to play South Africa, to play New Zealand, to play Australia this November. Certainly going to Chicago, you need to go fully locked and loaded for that game. You need to go fully locked and loaded for the Springboks game as well. That's all important, I think.
It is, but you need to also have a player, like, this is the first squad that I can remember where there's no quote-unquote training panelists in there, and that seems very unusual for a team that's, you know, only 18 months out from a World Cup that probably needs to blood a couple of players. I know James Tracy mentioned Fintan Gunn might be a player who could come in with Craig Casey maybe struggling with injury and getting a few minutes in this autumn, and we need to probably see a bit of an evolution from this Ireland team and how they play and their style in this window, because, like, I remember back a couple of months ago or a couple of weeks ago, Franco Smith, the Glasgow Warriors head coach, just as an example, was saying, oh, it's great that, you know, Hugh Jones and Sione Tuipulotu and Scott Cummings were in with all those Ireland and Leinster players, because now they've nothing to fear. They've seen them up close. That mystique is gone, and we know their strategy and we know how to beat it. That's what you're up against this time. So and maybe it's the horses for courses. I know these players and I can develop a new game plan thing. But I don't know. I would have liked to seen a little bit of an intriguing, uncapped player coming into the side and making something.
There was an absolutely disgraceful decision made by the Irish Rugby social media team on their graphics announcing the squad today. They picked Jack Crowley to appear in the graphics. I mean, picking sides in the great out half debate, I see Irish rugby. Right, that is the rugby stories. We're going to have Brian O'Driscoll back in studio tomorrow evening, by the way, to give his analysis to that Ireland squad. And of course, look ahead to Leinster versus Munster this weekend in Croke Park. What's next?
Well, Courtney Brosnan has not made the Republic of Ireland squad for their Women's Nations League promotion playoffs against Belgium later this month. The goalkeeper has missed four games for Everton in this season's WSL. She's recovering from a knee injury. Denise O'Sullivan, Jamie Finn and Jess Sue have been included in Carla Ward's selection for the games against Belgium. The first leg is down for the decision at the Aviva Stadium on Friday week, with a trip to Leuven for the girls in green 4 days later. Athlone Town's Kelly Brady has also been called up to train with the Ireland team ahead of those games. She's in action in the Women's FAI Cup final this weekend, and she told our own Ben Symes earlier that it's encouraging to know that Carla Ward is looking at the Women's Premier Division sides for potential call-ups.
Yeah, there's always that hope, but, you know, whenever they think I'm ready, whenever, you know, I get called up, I hope I'm ready for it, you know. Carla Ward has been looking more into the league, I'm sure, so there's not pressures to go abroad, but, you know, you want to play at the highest level you can just to be under the eyes of, like, the senior team, you know. But to know that Carla Ward is now, you know, taking this league into consideration is very important, you know, and I think the factors of, like, maybe girls prefer it here and prefer to stay home and play in this league rather than going overseas.
Yeah, indeed. So we've got a couple of more stories just to bring you before we wrap up, Cameron.
Yeah, Wales' greatest ever female footballer, Jess Fishlock, will retire from international football after their game against Australia later this month. The 38-year-old will win her 166th and final cap in the friendly at the Cardiff City Stadium. Fishlock is the country's record goal scorer with 48 to her name, and says that playing at the Euros last summer was the pinnacle of her career. And finally then, Sunday's Derry senior football final between Mara Felt and Newbridge will go ahead as planned. Schlockneil's appeal against the result of their semi-final defeat to Newbridge has been rejected by the Derry County Board. The three-time Ulster champions believe a late score from forward Shane McGuigan should have been a two-pointer rather than a one-point score, and had submitted video evidence to a hearing last night. A similar case was taken by the Shamrocks club in Offaly, which was also unsuccessful earlier this month.
Cameron Hill, thank you very much for that. Keith Tracy, you're going to hang with us and you'll be back on after 9 o'clock on the football show. Coming up next, we're going to have Anthony Moyles in studio, manager of the Kilbride GAA Club, who are now Meath Intermediate champions as of last Saturday.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.